Thank you for joining us for ACT, No Matter What, the Planned Parenthood Advocates of Arizona podcast. And now, your host, Ethan Cox, Director of Development.
Hello, and welcome to another Planned Parenthood Advocates of Arizona ACT, No Matter What podcast. We're really excited to have you here for another great podcast edition. And today we have a great talk that we're going to do with our current state representative, Diego Rodriguez. I'm going to start out with a short bio of Representative Rodriguez, and then we'll get into the Q&A. Diego Rodriguez is a passionate advocate for civil and human rights. Whether he's fighting for his clients as a defense attorney or he's fighting for working families. As a lifelong resident of Arizona's Legislative District 27, he has centered his life on service to his community. In today's political climate, LD 27 needs a leader who is willing to stand up and say enough, and Rodriguez has been that leader. In June 2021, Representative Rodriguez announced his intention to seek the Arizona Attorney General seat in 2022. Rodriguez grew up in Wyoming with six brothers and sisters. After graduating from the University of Notre Dame, he came to Arizona for law school, where he spent his entire career fighting for people facing economic hardship, racism, and unfair obstacles getting the opportunity to build a life and to thrive. He's worked as a prosecutor, defense attorney, civil attorney, and a state legislator and knows the biggest challenges facing Arizonans, like access to health care, fair wages, and equal opportunities, and fights to make sure every Arizonan's voice is heard. Rodriguez has worked inside and outside the system to stand up for the poor, for people of color, and for vulnerable neighborhoods desperate to end the violence threatening their kids. He believes Arizonans need and deserve a system that works for them in areas such as criminal justice reform, voting rights, and consumer protection. Welcome, Representative Rodriguez.
Thank you for having me.
So, as I mentioned in the introduction there, you recently announced that you are running for the Arizona State Attorney General. Why did this feel like the right time for you to make that move?
Well, I've been an attorney for a little over 25 years now. And with the combination of the experience that I have as a former prosecutor, current criminal defense attorney, longtime civil attorney, and then the 3 years I've spent in the legislature watching what has been happening to our state, I just really felt very strongly that my experience set, my knowledge set are really tailored for the moment that we're in right now. We're at a crucial turning point in our state's history, and I think it's vital that we have the right leaders in place in these statewide offices that can take us away from these failed policies, these divisive policies of the past, and get us back to doing what we should be doing in state government, which is serving the best interests of the people of Arizona as opposed to the special interests of Arizona.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks would agree with you about that, especially the moment that we're living through right now. So you're obviously not just running for attorney general, but also serving as a state representative. What are some of your top priorities right now for your term?
Wow, that is a great question. I mean, we just have so many challenges here in Arizona. I mean, obviously, education is always at the top of the list. Yep. We're always struggling to make sure that the funding for our public school system is protected and preserved. We're pushing back now against the efforts to undermine Prop 208. I fully support the Invest in Ed petition initiatives to roll back the reckless and the irresponsible flat tax and the income tax cap that was passed by the Republicans in this last legislature. So, you know, education is always a priority. Criminal justice reform has been a priority for me from day one. I don't think that people fully realize how many families and how many communities are affected by the harsh sentencing system that we have here in Arizona that incarcerates so many people. We have thousands of families who are divided right now because one or both parent is incarcerated, and we have literally thousands of kids in our foster care system. And many of those kids end up aging out and then getting involved in the criminal justice system as well, and just continues the cycle. So that's always been an important priority for me. And then access to jobs that pay wages that you can build a family on and build a life on. That's also a priority. But then, you know, then we talk about healthcare too. And now in these times, we're talking about preserving women's right to obtain a safe and legal abortion.
And the fascinating thing is that those seem like basic fundamental building blocks of a good society. And yet so much time seems to get spent on, I guess I'll just say foolishness, like the current audit that's happening, which, you know, seems like such a, not just a time waste, but such a money waste and resource waste and whatnot. So I'm glad to hear that your priorities are probably what the majority of Arizona's priorities are too. I know that you spoke a little bit about this in your last answer, but as the father of two, I know how important funding education is for you. And I think that, you know, a big part of that from what I've heard is that closing some tax loopholes could really make a significant difference. Is that right? And what does that really mean for the common layperson?
Well, in Arizona, I can tell you that there are so many dedicated tax credits, tax rebates that are really designed to benefit corporations, that it really doesn't, they're meaningless to the average Arizonan, right? But the thing about taxes is what you take away from one person, if you lower one person's tax burden, you necessarily have to raise it on another person. So when you hear about this flat tax, for example, and you hear that the Republicans have refused to require our highest earners in the state to pay their fair share, that burden then gets pushed down to everybody else farther down the line. And so tax policy, in my mind, is about equity. It's about making sure that those who can pay more should pay more, because they are really reaping the benefits of what we've been able to do here in the state, even with the very limited resources that we've had. And the income disparity is only getting worse year after year as you have these very wealthy Arizonans who are paying very low percentages of their income tax. And yet they're benefiting from our roads, they're benefiting from our schools, they're benefiting from our public safety system. They're really taking advantage of the fat of the land at the expense of everyone else. So if we closed many of these tax loopholes, these tax credits, and ended these tax rebates for wealthier folks, or just completely eliminated them across the board, then what you would have is millions, probably hundreds of millions in tax revenue going back into the system. And then we could decide how we want to use that most effectively to help the majority of Arizonans.
Yeah, it just makes, you know, good common sense. But, you know, I've heard that common sense is not so common anymore. I think you're probably aware that there remain on the books several zombie laws around accessing abortion in the state. Basically, if in the now somewhat more likely event that Roe v. Wade were to be overturned, this would actually criminalize folks for seeking or providing abortion care in Arizona. What, if anything, can you do as part of the minority party right now to change or get rid of these types of zombie laws?
Well, as you know, because we are in the minority, we do not set the agenda for the legislature. That entirely comes from the Republican leadership, and they basically work in lockstep with the governor and whatever extremist portion of the Republican Party that they happen to be kowtowing to at the time. So it is a little frustrating, but we do have the power of, of our office, which is to draw attention to issues, which is to point out for folks, like, look, this may only seem theoretical to you now, but in the future, it may be your mother or your wife or your sister or your daughter who is going to be threatened with arrest or punished in some other way if she chooses to exercise her right to obtain safe and legal abortion as part of her right to obtain safe and legal health care. And so, you know, it's incumbent upon us to draw attention to those issues. It's incumbent upon us to call upon other public officials to do their part as well, and to take leadership in the community to make sure that we're not going to allow our families to be targeted that way.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And thank you so much for standing with Planned Parenthood. Why has that been important to you?
I believe in solidarity with those, in maintaining solidarity with those allies who have stood up for the issues that affect all of us as well, right? So I think if you stand up for civil rights, then clearly you should be standing up for a woman's right to obtain safe and legal abortion as part of her right to obtain safe and legal healthcare, because abortion is healthcare. So it's really about helping those people who help you, standing with those people who stand with you, in order to make sure that our values, which are, you know, such things as respect, you know, for a person's right to make their own determination, to make their own decisions about their body. We respect that about one another. We stand for one another. We're talking about equity. So, you know, in my mind, that endorsement really represents a strong statement about remaining loyal to your values, true to your friends, and equity.
Well, we really appreciate it. It makes such a huge difference for an organization like ours to have our elected officials, you know, publicly standing with us, not doing the sort of the behind the scenes work, but really coming out and saying, this is important to me. So we really appreciate that.
You know, true leadership requires that you take steps to let other people know where you stand. And sometimes you have to be out in front. Sometimes you have to risk your position or your access to whatever it is that, you know, you may be trying to attain, because you have to set a good example for those people that you're saying that you're asking for the honor of leading. And I just wanted to point out that it's important for me when people come out and stand next to me and support me in those values that I believe in, that I also recognize that sometimes being a leader means you actually have to lead.
Right.
And that means you have to have the courage to say publicly what you believe in. And
absolutely.
So that's why I have never hesitated to put out my appreciation for the endorsement that I've received.
Thank you. So I have to imagine that being an attorney and also working in the state house right now as part of the minority party are pretty stressful jobs. How do you make sure that you're practicing self-care, and what are the things that bring you joy and allow you to kind of disconnect from that work?
That is a great question. And I'll be 100% honest with you. It has been this last session in particular, I think, was one of the most stressful times that I've experienced as a professional. It was this strange combination of having to listen to these extremist positions coming from the Republicans with their refusal to follow procedure, with their willingness to just ignore the rules and really just play the game to win at all costs. And coming from a professional background, and that's very frustrating, because, you know, you're taught as a professional, there are procedures that you follow. There are rules of ethics that you follow. There are codes of conduct that you follow. And then in the legislature, that just all just evaporates. And it's right. Literally just, you know, it might makes right. So for me, I've had to be very careful about just disconnecting. Sometimes it's just as simple as reading a book or reading, you know, just finding something that has nothing to do with what we're dealing with every day and just focusing on that. I try to do my best to maintain, you know, a healthy relationship with my children. And to make sure that I'm not taking anything out on them, you know, indirectly. I know a lot of parents, you get stressed out. And, you know, sometimes we don't always know how to handle that when we come home. So I've tried to be very focused on that. I go to the gym a lot. I mean, and with the pandemic and not being able to go to the gym, I didn't realize how much that was a part of my self-care until I lost that.
Yeah, it's a great stress reliever.
Exactly. It is a great stress reliever. I like to run. You know, I was hiking a lot over this past break as well, so that was very helpful. And you really do just literally have to just tell yourself sometimes, just sit down, turn off your brain, and just relax and just think about something else. Because if you don't, it really can just become an insidious presence in your life that just eats away at your ability to, like what you said, to experience joy and to feel joy and to appreciate everything else that you have in your life.
Well, I just thank you so much, Representative Rodriguez. This has been a great and informative conversation, and definitely been my honor to have had this time with you. And I want to say thanks to all of you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this. And if you did, we'll be posting new podcasts every month or so. So be on the lookout. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, please rate and subscribe on iTunes. See you next time.